Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Donate on Patreon.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Luke Owen and I'm joined by El Fagador Larry Blake.
What's going on?
Pretty good, bud. How are you?
I'm very, very well.
Very well. What a busy day this has been.
It's been nuts, isn't it? Yeah. I woke up to this morning thinking, I've only got to make three videos today. And then it was like, here's two more and another one. Yeah. What?
Yeah, I suddenly woke up this morning and realized, it's May 30th. Mm. We better record Ramble Club today.
Yeah.
So we can get it live tomorrow. And then Ollie says back at him, can't do that.
Like, no can do.
Oh. And then after that, everything fell apart.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we've still got to record our NXT predictions for this coming Saturday. I was thinking about Ramble Club, though. It feels like this is probably more of a production meeting that we should have had off air.
Yeah, wow.
But I thought I would do this as a bit of a tease to see if we can try and get some people donating on the old Patreon. We're going to shake up Ramble Club tomorrow. Usually, if you are one of our $10 and above Patreon pledge hammers, Ramble Club is me, Laurie, and Ollie having a few beers and having a laugh. I'm thinking tomorrow, all five of us sit down.
Whoa.
So me, you, Andy, Pete, Simon, we all just sit in here. We'll have to share microphones. And we'll just have some beers and we'll answer some questions on the old Patreon.
Ooh.
And we'll just chat here and have some beers for an hour and a half.
Can I have a fruit shoot?
No, absolutely not. No, you'll have beer and you'll like it, Randy.
You cannot have a fruit shoot.
Also, it's got too much sugar in it, mate. I'm not going to let you drink really sugary drinks.
Yeah, that's it. Plain water for you.
If you're not having beer, I'm going to look after you.
Yeah, if you're not having a beer, you're allowed a Barocca, and that is it.
So yes, that's what we're going to do tomorrow. We're going to record it. We may live stream it for the Patreons only. Mm. Actually, that might be really difficult. Let's not do that. Only because I can't set up the cameras for everyone.
Can't work out a five-person camera
set. No, also I've got to edit it as well, so let's not go too mental.
It's a pain in the butt.
I've got to get it live tomorrow. But anyway, so that's a bit of a tease for if you want to join us over on Patreon and hear the five of us just chatting a load of cack for a good hour and a half. And reading Big Apple Takedown.
Oh, yeah. What are we going to do without Ollie's dedication to accents?
Yes, the great, quote-unquote, accents that he does.
The world's greatest impressionist, Oliver Davis.
He's a very good reader, though. Mm. I think he's good at doing... he could be hired by Audible.
He reads with his eyebrows, I've noticed. Mm. He does.
Oh, really?
He very, like... He furrows in and then pulls out the right word.
Interesting.
Which this is all content that you can't see. But I'm doing an impression of Ollie with my eyebrows. The other great impressionist of the WrestleTalk team, clearly, doesn't know when he's doing the appropriate one.
Yeah, well, so join us for that tomorrow. We'll be back in the outro. We're actually recording this about 2 minutes before we go live with the actual NXT review. So for a change, we'll actually have some like post-show thoughts, but we'll also be reading your emails and talking about what we're getting up to this fine weekend. But anyway, here's the NXT show. We're going to be talking about the Undisputed Era and what might happen with them at TakeOver this weekend. Here's the show. NXT, the post-NXT Wrestle Ramble edition, where we're going to be kicking off talking about the old Undisputed Era, who stood tall at the end of the night. And they have got, I think this is, we talked about this before on the show, we think this is the first time that all four members of the Undisputed Era are in different matches on an NXT card.
Yes.
You've got Matt Riddle versus Roderick Strong of the Undisputed Era. You've got Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish going for the tag titles in the four-way ladder match. And you've got Adam Cole, Bay, going for the NXT Championship in the main event.
Against Johnny Champion.
Against Johnny Champs. So Big, big night for the Undisputed
Era. Absolutely.
They've been having a lot of issues as of late, some might say. Bit of dissension within the ranks. But can they get a clean sweep this coming Saturday?
Oh, I really feel like it could be on the cards, you know? Like, I feel like the end of this episode of NXT, where they beat down the rest of the tag division and they stand tall on top of the ladder in this pose you can see in the backdrop here. Like, that was a big statement to me, and I felt like this is the kind of cohesive unit coming back together again. However, I can also see, like, my predictions for this show, I'm really struggling to come up with what I think is going to happen, because it's either none of them win, all of them win, or I reckon two of them win and Roddy loses.
Yeah, you see, that's where I'm also going as well. I think Randy's done his predictions for this show already, because if you're part of Wrestle League, one of our Patreon benefits... It's not really the word I'm after. What about Patreon things? What about perks. Patreon things? There you go. Thank you very much. Perks. Thank you, Randy. Is that you get to be a part of Wrestle League and predict against us. And I've been really trying to think about this today. And Randy, you said in your predictions you did that you've got Roddy is the only one losing his match.
Yeah.
Which kind of makes sense because one of the rumors is that Matt Riddle is going to be going for the NXT Championship at the Toronto event that they're going to do before SummerSlam. But I'm almost thinking, I'm thinking along the similar lines of you. I think that, and Randy in this, there's two of them are winning and one of them is losing. But I'm wondering if it's Cole that's losing.
Yes, I can see that too, yeah.
Yeah, so you almost build up the Knights to be like, the Undisputed Era are winning all of their matches. And then Adam Cole is the one that fails at the end.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. That's kind of where I'm sitting at the moment.
And that doesn't override the entire landscape of NXT. We're just going like, it's now just the Undisputed Era thing, and like Roddy would then probably go for the North American title to get that full, we're finally undisputed. But yeah, I definitely can see it being, it's one of the two of them. And because of the whole story before they had to sort of go, oh no, they've taken everyone, and like revamp everything, was it seemed to be building to a tag match, right, between Cole and O'Reilly versus Fish and Strong, which I feel like in my imaginary picture of it, would have come down to Fish and O'Reilly in the ring being like, I don't really want to fight you, dude. And like, they're having to decide the future of the Undisputed Era by picking who's going to take the pin, you know, and like, which one of Adam Cole or Strong is going to be like the leader of the gang.
Which would be really fascinating if they do that. And Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish are the tag champs.
Yeah.
So you've got the tag champs on opposite sides.
Yeah. Oh, see, that could be really cool.
That's kind of bonkers.
I'm actually I'm kind of falling more in with the Cole loses maybe. I don't, because it feels too early to take the title off Johnny as well.
100%.
Definitely feels like very early in that run. Admittedly, he is much better when he's not as the chaser than the champ. So maybe they do want to get the title off him and have. You know, if you were going to do a whole clean sweep, you would have the most brutal beatdown from the Undisputed Era, probably writing him off TV for a while, I would imagine. But I am getting swayed by the idea that Cole doesn't win.
Yeah, no, I'm kind of thinking, well, we're going to be doing our NXT predictions after we've gone live with this.
Yeah.
Me, Laurie and Pete are going to be sitting down to give our NXT. Ollie's exact quote was, I'm not going to do the predictions. I'm not a mark and don't watch NXT. So he's not going to be joining us for that one. In reality, he's doing business stuff. So the three of us are going to be recording our predictions. But we've kind of given away some of our thoughts for the tag match as well.
Yeah.
Which was kind of like where all of this has come from. Because the main event of the show was Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch versus the Forgotten Sons. Match barely got started, really. You had like Burch started strong, and then the Forgotten Sons.
Danny Burch. So good.
Like just running into you with a big uppercut right at the start of the match.
Come on then.
But I also think the credits of Forgotten Sons bumping like madmen to get over Burch and Larkin's offense. I thought they were really, really good at this.
Yes, they really were.
And like the Forgotten Sons shut them down a little bit, but eventually Riker gets ejected by the referee. He goes up the ramp, gets attacked by the Street Profits, and then the Street Profits run down to the ring. Attack into the ring, DQ, ref throws the match out. Thank you, Profits. Chance breaks out from the crowd because they beat up the Forgotten Sons. And then Undisputed Era come down and they just beat up everyone because they've got two extra men.
Yeah.
So they sort of like lay a trap because it's Cole and Strong that kind of like wipe them out at the top. And then O'Reilly and Fish attack from nowhere. Mm-hmm. Almost like the Raptors.
Yeah.
From
clever
Jurassic
Park. Girl.
Clever girls. And
clever fish.
And then eventually they stand tall at the end, up on top of this ladder, as you can see in the thumbnail if you're watching the video version of this. But I thought one of the other really intriguing points about this, we'll get into the tag division stuff in a minute, but I thought one of the really intriguing points about this was how strong they made Jackson Ryker look.
Yes.
Because Jackson Ryker got beat up by the Street Profits. He got beat up by the Undisputed Era. He got a ladder thrown into his face by all four members of the Undisputed Era.
He got chucked off the stage at one point as well for
but
a bit.
He was still standing. Like, he was getting up.
Yeah.
It's like a Terminator. It just could not be stopped. And it had to take another ladder shot to put him down for them to set the ladder up.
Mm-hmm.
They're very interesting how strong they put over Jackson Ryker at the end of this. Of whether they are going to set him up for this almost a main event style picture for him.
Yeah, I also think, I think we've said before on when we've discussed this, that like I think Jackson Ryker could really be a deciding factor in this ladder match as well, because, you know, kind of the rules are a bit all over the place because of it being four teams anyway.
Exactly.
So
what you're gonna do, one of them.
Yeah, exactly. I imagine he's gonna wander in and cause some havoc.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or whether this was done to write him off so that he won't be at TakeOver 25.
Yes,
and they can say that Jackson Ryker's too injured. Due to injuries he sustained at the hands of the Undisputed Era, he won't be at this show. Just as a way to kind of like write him out of that. Because as you say, otherwise you'd be like, why isn't Ryker just getting in the ring and beating everyone up?
Yeah, because I can see either way we sort of, either way you kind of slice it here, I can see an Undisputed Era versus Forgotten Sons feud going forward from this match in general, because I feel like that kind of faction warfare is something they haven't really explored in NXT around the Undisputed Era properly yet. So like that would be a really good way to do it as well. Like these people, like two teams vying for control of the entire brand, basically.
Yeah, because they've had like, they had a feud with Sanity.
Yes.
And yeah, but like you say, there was, that was sort of faction warfare, but it wasn't for like the controlling state of NXT.
No, like Sanity didn't really care. Like Sanity were just like, whatever.
All
like,
about the chaos.
Yeah.
My Eric Young. It's not very good. So I do think that Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick... Deary me, where am I? Fish and O'Reilly. I'm very tired today. Fish and O'Reilly could be the ones to walk out of NXT as the tag champs once again.
Yes.
Three-time NXT tag team champions.
It doesn't feel like they've built anyone else way. Beyond the, I think the Forgotten Sons are the most likely, if it's not.
I'd say they've kind of built Street Profits, because they did have that visual pin-esque thing over the War Raiders on their way out, and they, you know, they were really pushing them. It was like they could have won that match.
Yeah.
So I think they have done something to kind of push them. But I really could see this being an Undisputed Era victory.
Yeah.
And it's interesting you say them going into a feud with the Forgotten Sons, because what's kind of interesting about that is they're both heels. Because Cole is 100% a heel act at the moment.
Oh, like, yeah.
And the Undisputed Era are being presented as the baddies.
Oh, yeah.
But the Forgotten Sons are also very much the baddies.
Yeah.
And I think putting the Forgotten Sons into a feud with the Undisputed Era are just going to get them over as baby faces. Because no one likes the Forgotten Sons, but everyone loves the Undisputed Era. They're one of those heel tag teams that everyone loves.
Yeah, they're like, they're the X. You know, it's just it's that exact thing. It's just people, you can't boo them.
Yeah, it's like Kevin Owens.
Yeah, absolutely.
You cheer the heel. So I think it's quite an interesting, there's a lot of interesting things coming out of this week's episode to lead into NXT TakeOver 25, which is coming this Sunday. Which, let's address this now. We're not going to be live streaming, I'm afraid to say. A few people have been asking, but yeah, we're not going to be live streaming NXT TakeOver this Saturday because...
Logistics,
basically, yeah. Me, Laurie, and Pete are away. We're at Games Expo in Birmingham.
Mm-hmm.
And Ollie is on a stag do, or a bachelor party for our American viewers.
Stag do.
In Northern Ireland. I don't think housemate Hyman is available either. So it was just like,
I could have done it on my own.
It was going to be Randy on his own. So I think logistically, we just couldn't make it work. And to be honest, I'm going to blame NXT on this one, or WWE in general. They booked this too late.
Yes, we were ready for Money in the Bank.
Yeah, we already had
weekend.
We already had our plans in place
for
going to Birmingham, going to the stag, doing things like that. So unfortunately, we're not going to be live streaming it, which also means that the review won't be going up on the Sunday, which means there might not be a review at all. There might be a ramble review on the Monday, but we might not have like a 10-minute review for the show.
Maybe if we can get Wi-Fi and the Premier in, we can we can do a Facebook Live or something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I wish I could say that, but we are staying at a travel lodge.
Oh, so, right. Okay. Yeah. It's a travel lodge. Yeah. But no.
Absolutely no chance.
We'll be lucky if we could even watch the thing.
I know. We did talk about possibly watching it like late at night when watching it live, but... yeah, I'm not sure the Wi-Fi is going to be good enough for travel lodge. Well, we'll see what we can do.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
But Randy Andy Dadson, what are people saying in the super chats?
People are saying the following. We're starting with Jobber JJ, as we often do. Says Baszler, EO, Gargano and Cole haven't had a lot of TV matches. Any reason for this?
Well, apparently Gargano was working hurt.
Well, he still is, I think. He's still got a hurt knee, yeah. Which is why I've gone for Cole.
Well, they said that Gargano, well, the Observer said last week that is that he was working with a niggling knee injury during this set of tapings, but he'll be fine by takeover. So he'll be fighting fit come Saturday. EO, I don't know.
That's what they would say.
But I think it's just like you're almost keeping people off TV to try and make you then want to watch the show and see them wrestle again.
Yeah, I think they've done the right thing with EO, though, because it's like, it's that same thing of like, there is a language barrier. You don't want to cut too many promos. But all the deployment of EO has been really good. This, like, she's turned after the Kairi Sane thing into this, like, avenging angel, basically, and just appears out of nowhere wielding a kendo stick to beat down Baszler all the time. I think there's been a great build to that match. It's been good to sort of keep it, like, low-key and let some of the other women's roster as well have TV time.
Yeah,
because, do you know what? Baszler has had all the TV time for ages now because she's been the champ for basically ever.
Yeah, and it's good to give people like Mia Yim and Bianca Belair some TV time instead. What we got next?
Chris Blank with a lovely message says, you lads are all right.
Yes, they are. I mean, you're too kind. But we are basically...
Don't, please don't.
We are basically fine.
My head can't take it.
Micah Williams says, I have a whole year...
Oh, the Brock thing.
Brock Lesnar, yes.
Yeah, the Brock Lesnar thing. I mean, yeah. Depends on what you got a year to do, I guess.
Keith Fry says, NXT theme song remix, We Are Nacho Cheese.
Well, great. That's all. It's like when someone told me that they hear Scottish Cycle Path for Drew McIntyre. That is all I hear
now.
You
can't unhear it.
I can't unhear that. So now We Are Nacho Cheese is all I'm going to hear now for poor old Slipknot.
Judas Black says, I'm here, so let me in.
Ah, for the Firefly Funhouse.
I guess not. So.
Yeah. Mm. You can clearly tell they don't know what they're doing yet. They're
the
just like,
fiend.
Can we just like try to extend this out for as long as possible?
We can just have him keep saying weird stuff.
Yeah, because we don't really know what we're going to do with it yet.
Yeah, I think they filmed all of that stuff in one day. I've said it before, and I think they've just got like a book studio time, and that is it.
That's it.
Michael Williams back in to say, where is housemate Simon Hyman?
It's on Screen Grapple. It'll be on Screen Grapple again this coming...
We've recorded today.
Do you want to give us a tease of what we can expect from this week's Screen Grapple?
It's a lot of John Moxley. There's a bit of Drew McIntyre doesn't like Shane McMahon. We've also got Colt Cabana, most likely, phoning in.
Yeah. Boom, boom.
So not really an interview. More a random hot take from Colt Cabana.
Well, sometimes that's what you want.
Jobber JJ again says, have you watched the NXT behind the scenes special?
No,
absolutely not. No, sorry. No. I haven't watched the Performance Center combined thing either, which is apparently a thing they've also done on the network to show how impressive strong people are. I don't know. Someone did email in about it. Rachel emailed in to give us some stats about like the big deadlifting stuff that they do.
Mm.
Also, actually, I think the most interesting thing about this, I thought I'd bring this up now because that's the only one I can remember. Montez Ford has a 37-inch vertical leap.
That's ridiculous.
So to put that into perspective...
it's one of my penis.
Kobe Bryant's a basketball player, right? Like, he's an impressive basketball player. He's got a 40-inch vertical leap.
Wow.
And the average NBA star vertical leap is 28 inches.
My lord.
So, he's like, you know, ginormous, so to speak.
Wow, so TV, Mayor of Painesville Dan says, really good show. Gulak should win gold this year.
But where? Like... I know if it's not on Raw or SmackDown or an NXT, it's not going to matter.
But even if, I don't know. It's just difficult for Gulak, isn't it? Because he's clearly so skilled and like they've cottoned onto him on NXT, thankfully, I think is the thing. Because he was getting wasted on 205 after having the brilliant PowerPoint presentation stuff for a bit and then it having some really good matches where he was number one contender for a while. And then it's just all dropped off again after the Buddy Murphy. Yeah.
NXT,
I don't know. Like, I'd really like to see more of Drew Gulak.
But I think,
great.
Like, to your point, NXT is pretty much the only place where Drew Gulak works. Mm-hmm. Because as soon as you put him up onto the main roster, you have him not doing the Drew Gulak match. And that's what Drew Gulak is good at.
Yes.
Drew Gulak is doing the matches that he did tonight with Kushida. Or, say, tonight, last night with Kushida. But you can't do that match on Raw or SmackDown because that's not the wrestling that Vince likes. That's not the wrestling that Vince wants to present. Therefore, Drew just does the same match that everyone else is doing, and that's not a Drew Gulak match.
No.
And then he's no one. He's nothing special then.
Yeah, he's going to get 5 minutes when that match needs 10.
Like, yeah.
And that will always be the case. It's so always going to be you
NXT
get 5 minutes.
NXT is pretty much the only place where he works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he works in 205 as well, because I like the no-fly zone stuff worked well, because it's like... It's just a good heel act on the Flippy show to be like, no flips.
Yeah, no, to your point there, I will correct myself. NXT is the only show that people watch.
The only one that matters where he works.
People care about. We were actually having a chat in the office.
You can stand
today
in the dark room and be Drew Gulak and it's not worth getting over.
Yeah, we were having this chat today in the office because it was brought to our attention that 205 Live has an unprecedented deep roster of 11 wrestlers.
Wow.
And we couldn't name them all.
Well, we could name 10.
We could name 10 of them.
No, I was going to start with Cedric Alexander. That's not right.
The one we didn't get was Oney Lorcan.
Yeah, Oney Lorcan was the one we forgot.
Drew, Oney, Kanellis.
Mm-hmm.
I'm done.
And Maria doesn't count, we found out.
Yeah, there was quite a few. Well, I don't know, just the one we didn't get.
Yeah, 11 people. What a roster.
Hangman AJ Wilson says, could Strong attack Breeze before the match and win the North America title?
So what? So he has his match with Matt Riddle and then has another match.
Yeah.
I don't see that happening. No.
I kind of think you want to build to the clean sweep. I'm kind of coming round to the idea of Cole not winning. Also because they titled the match on the match card as well as Cole versus Gargano 2. And I feel like that might build to Cole versus Gargano 3 like they did with the Ciampa stuff. So I think Roddy's just going to either win or lose his match and it's not going to knock on at all.
Yeah. I mean, it'll knock on in storylines, but not knock on for the
rest
of the show.
Yeah, it's not going to knock on the rest of the show. Yeah, it's not going to be like he's going to just jump into the next match and do something.
Also, I think they're very much like behind this Tyler Breeze return. God, that promo package was wicked. Oh, can't wait to talk about that.
Yeah.
Someone suggested saying in the chat that they have very many difficulties watching NXT on the network. As do I, so I don't know why that is.
Really?
It goes about 5 minutes and then skips back a minute, and then you watch that minute again, and it skips back a minute.
Huh.
I've had that for since forever.
On your laptop or on your...
Yeah, but the thing is, Laurie uses my account, and he never has any issues with it.
I was going to say, no. I mean, we all use the same account, I'm pretty sure, but like, yeah, I've never had any issues watching.
It's because I'm screen sharing, and I'm winding you back 1 minute all the time.
Yeah, no, I've never had any issues with
that. Fair enough. Moise Ali, thank you very much for your generous donation. Dustin Pylon says, I hope Breeze tries to one-up Dream's entrance.
Oh, that'd be great. Actually, I mean, that is going to be an entrance off. That is, as we joked last week, it's a walk-off.
It really is.
It's very much an entrance off.
I hope he comes out with Ben Stiller.
Tomo says, Tomo. Luke Laurie, guess what? Hi.
Oh, hi.
He did say 10 seconds of silence, please, but
Can't have that much dead air.
No, right? Exactly. Angel Perez says, I can see Vince snatching up Jackson Ryker ASAP.
I can see Vince really snatching up Jackson
ASAP.
Yeah, they've got to hide him. Like when they had Lars and they were just trying to, like,
don't let him
keep
see
him under a canopy.
We've got to check Jackson Ryker's past Twitter and bodybuilding forum.
I think Jackson will be fine in NXT for the time being. I don't think Vince is going to be snapping him up, because although he's tall and he's big and he's strong and all that, I think I don't think Vince is in the market at the moment for any more people on the roster.
He was at TNA as well, so.
He was,
yeah. I think that, yeah, Vince is definitely throwing everything else at the wall first before he goes another big dude.
That's exactly it. Yeah, we've probably got another 3 weeks before
got at least three more gimmicks that he's going to come up with. Like,
yeah.
The wild card.
The wild card. Like, no, we'll do the wild card.
Wild card plus.
Could be wild card plus. Yeah.
Michael Williams says, support AEW YouTube channel.
And ours.
Yes, and ours.
More ours. More.
Ours more.
They need it less, I think.
Yeah, we need the bump.
Small Afro Games.
Jaron Walker.
Says nothing, but thank you very much for your generous donation.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Tomo says, Tomo. Me and Andy can stream TakeOver 25 together.
It's very difficult. You're in a very different country.
You are in Australia.
Yeah. And we ain't flying you over. That's that's not cheap.
Danny, your boy DeVito says, your Vince boy. Take control of NXT to compete with AEW.
Did you say Vince takes over NXT to compete with AEW? I have seen a few people on the Wrestling Observer boards who reckon they are going to go on Wednesday nights to compete against NXT.
You think?
It's the same audience, I suppose. You're kind of competing with the same sort of fan base.
I think, like, how many people actually watch NXT live?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's on the net. I never watch it live.
I've never watched it live. So,
no. Yeah. I think even if they did go on Wednesday nights, people are just going to be like, well, I can watch in the morning. It's okay.
The player move is to go on Friday.
Yeah, man.
Go on Friday, get there first, and then be like, dare you, SmackDown. Dare you.
I dare you.
I dare you come over here
come on
Friday.
Fox.
Yeah.
Antonio Koo from the Philippines says, Breeze wins this weekend. Thoughts? Who would you have as his first challenger?
I don't think Breeze is winning. But challenger-wise, Kushida. Yeah.
Oh, Kushida would be good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Keith Lee.
Keith Lee's a good shout,
Dijakovic gets rehab.
Yeah.
Tim Arndt says nothing, but thank you very much for your generous donation.
Thank you.
Judas Black is back in with a question that I guarantee neither of you will know the answer to because it's sports. Judas Black says, NBA final start tonight. Who have you guys got?
Arsenal.
Michael Jordan.
Yep. Chicago Bulls.
Well, it is the...
Scottie Pippen.
It's the Golden State Warriors against the Toronto Raptors.
I'm going to Raptors them.
I'll go for Toronto because Canada.
I'm going for Toronto as well because Golden State have won it twice in a row, I believe.
So it's not their turn.
Yeah, it's not their
turn. Exactly. That's how it works in sports.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's how it works. I mean, it's all a work, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Yeah.
Vince Russo.
Yeah. I once used to joke with my friends that football was all a work. That's why it gets so dramatic.
That's
why, like, there's so much drama towards the end of a season is because it's all a work. It's a big predetermined sport.
Yeah,
it's choreography.
There's not much point in asking sports questions. I guess you just want to ask me because I'm the only one who really... Ollie knows a tiny bit about football and that's about it.
You say he knows a tiny bit
about
football.
I can talk about sport climbing.
Yeah, you can talk about climbing. Yeah. That's a sport. Yeah,
Who have you got for the next climbing championships?
Adam Ondra.
Oh, yeah. I thought so.
He's great.
Bebe. Jared Thomas says, I feel like there will be a split in the... almost said the United Arab Emirates. The Undisputed Era.
Could be a split in them as well. You don't know.
Mm, oh, I just changed it to me. There you go.
Yeah. So there could be a split in the Undisputed Era. I mean, that's what they've been sort of teasing now for like the last few months, really. Certainly since the last takeover. So I think it's not out of the realms of possibility. Like, I think if you do go down the storyline that we've been talking about on this show, that you have Roddy and you have the tags win, but you don't, and then Cole fails. And Cole is the leader, is the only one who doesn't win on the night. And you almost have then Roddy kind of like vying for the leadership position and create a rift in there.
Well, because you can then sell in this idea that Cole was always blaming Roddy for his failures. And it's like, no, it's just you, man.
Yeah.
Like, I think The other theory I was mulling over this morning was that maybe a split is coming, because if you were looking at the Undisputed Era and going, well, maybe we want them on the main roster, would Roddy want to stay in NXT because his wife's there?
With Maria Shafir. Hmm.
Like, yeah, you know, chance. So that this could be why Roddy seems like the one that they're going to splinter off.
Yeah.
Maybe they just want to babyface Roddy again.
Like, maybe. You know. I mean, I would say that if you are going to have this split in the Undisputed Era, just put them back together again. Like, I know, yeah. Like, housemate Simon, he said before we started recording today that he's done with the Undisputed Era. I think he's kind of bored of them mm-hmm. now. But I think they're too good of a team to split.
I think they're great. I think I think you can get mileage out of a feud, an internal feud, that leads to them coming back together stronger.
Yeah.
And I think maybe that is a much more interesting dynamic. Because I love the idea of a tag match between them.
Yeah.
Especially if Fish and O'Reilly are the tag champs as well. Yeah.
Someone suggesting that we are none of us are wearing trousers.
I mean, I'm wearing jeans.
I've got trousers on.
Yeah. I don't.
No. Okay, fair enough.
Free and easy.
Who was next? It is Ryan B. Bad says, longtime Patreon, first time super chatter. What happened to WrestleTalk general manager Grado?
He's got his own wrestling promotion now up in Scotland.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he's doing shows up there.
Yeah, we had to fire him.
Yeah, family-friendly wrestling is what Grado's all about.
Oh, nice.
Which is why he's a good guy.
Edinol says, hey, Ollie, that's not the real Luke Owen.
I mean, I've got my driver's license. Let me just quickly check.
Let me scan this for you.
Yeah, hold on.
What kind of wallet is that, Luke?
It's a Ridge wallet, Randy Datsun. Yeah, very good Ridge wallet.
Very serious.
It has to be serious, isn't it? You're not allowed to smile in the photos.
Quite... I don't know.
Yeah. I wanted my passport photo to be more like...
I wanted it to be goofy.
Wearing a goofy hat. Yeah.
Grandpa Simpson. Local man shouts at clouds.
That's exactly it.
Steve Winyard says, will Shayna ever lose and get demoted to the main roster?
Yeah, I think this Sunday. But I don't think she's getting up to the main roster, but I think she's...
No, I think she's going to go off to SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Which is why I originally did her, but changed her back. No, they did to EO, and changed her back to Shayna, because I thought... No, I've told
her. Because the rules are, Randy, is that once you press submit, you can't change it.
I mean, I had an email from Daniel Schachtmeier, otherwise known as Mayor of Painesville Dan, who did the same.
Wow. So. I mean, usually. And you said, no, you can't. Absolutely, you can't, Dan. That's not how it works.
Yeah, but he's nice.
No, he didn't.
Jerome Capo says, this is about to be one of the best takeovers ever.
It's a stacked card. Mm. Really, really good card this Saturday.
I feel like this is what we say about every takeover, though. It's like, it could be the best one ever. It's because it's the same lot of people going around in circles doing amazing stuff over and over again with good storytelling.
Yep.
The main roster could be this.
It could be.
It's like so easy to do, apparently.
It's not that hard, mate.
No.
The show kicked off with Mia Yim versus Bianca Belair. This is a feud that's sort of been bubbling over now for the last few weeks. And I really enjoyed this because this is a undercard feud. Not an undercard feud, but it is a feud that has been TV only, doesn't have to build to a takeover match.
Yep.
But it's been filling up TV time. It's been giving them time to get their characters over. It's been time for them to shine in the ring.
Yep.
And they've been telling a really good story in the meantime. I think this is really, really good stuff.
I was struggling with this match, though, this morning. I was a little bored by it. And I felt it was a little bit sloppy and a little bit, like, lacked impact.
Yeah.
And I felt like... The last one they had was much more of what I wanted to see.
Yeah, yeah.
This sort of run back felt like a bit. It felt very similar, like that, in the sense that they were just sort of going like, "Oh, we have to do this again."
Yeah, I didn't have a lot of notes.
Good finish.
Yeah, good finish.
Great finish.
I will say, when I said that I like it because it's a feud that's not for a title, it's not for anything like that's not even for a number one contendership. Excuse me, it's just to get kind of characters over and things like that. That's all good. But as you say, the match was fine.
The match was okay. Yeah.
It was fine. Like, if you'd have seen it on Raw, you'd have forgotten about it. And if it's on NXT, you forget about it even quicker.
Yeah.
I've made, like, almost virtually no notes. It's very much just like, Yim dominates, Belair makes a comeback. Like,
Belair makes a big comeback. Belair dominates for a bit. When Yim fires back, she hits Eat Defeat. Mm-hmm. Belair rolls out of the ring and goes to just walk to the back. Yim won't take the count out victory, so goes out to meet her, gets posted into the apron, knocked down. Belair rolls into the ring, perfectly willing to take a count out victory. Yim rolls back in, and then
she hits her finish.
She hits the
protect your neck.
Protect your neck.
Wu Tang reference.
But holding on to the hair.
She
gets up into a power bomb.
Yeah. So Belair had her up into a power bomb, but she got out of it and grabbed the hair to hit protect your neck.
Pulls her in, and bam.
to get the win. So Mia Yim wins. They're now one apiece.
50-50 booking.
50-50 booking, indeed. And it's kind of like, you think this is now going to build to a rubber match between the two of them. Mm-hmm. So I think there could be something out of this. But you're right. This wasn't a particularly great match.
I think this is entirely to set up whoever's next for the NXT Women's Championship, I think, post takeover.
See, I think it's more, for me,
just
I think
keeping things
more,
on the broil.
That's what I mean. I think it's more spinning plates.
Yeah.
Or keeping the plates spinning. Because I think Candice LeRae is going to be in that picture.
Oh, you do?
Before we get to Yim.
Which has been shoehorned a little bit into
exactly,
that,
yeah. So, but I think what it is it's keeping those plates spinning. It's keeping them on TV. It's keeping them relevant. It's mm-hmm. keeping the crowd interested in them. And giving them something to do.
Mm.
We then got the best thing on the show, which was a hype package for the Velveteen Dream and Tyler Breeze.
I love Velveteen Dream's hype packages.
This
so good.
Was awesome. Mm. This was so good. This is one of those video packages where I'm not taking any notes while I'm watching it because I'm just so transfixed by it that I then have to like stop. I have to pause it and be like, okay, right, what did I just see? And I have to write it down so I remember it when I get back. And it's Velveteen Dream with a selfie stick. And he sets up a selfie stick to record a camera. He's recording cameras. He's to get a phone and use its camera ability to record himself. And he talks about that, like, when Dream got called up, it was the last time he got a standing ovation.
Yeah.
And they show that clip from Stomping Ground when Tyler was announced he was going up to the main roster. And then they show clips of Tyler Breeze going up to the main roster and how, hey, you were going to make an instant impact. You got into that feud with Dolph Ziggler. And then instantly you were forgotten about.
Mm.
Like, they even use Tyler Breeze being on main event as a way to bury,
roster. They find all the goofy clips as well, and like stuff was chucked on him, or
exactly,
he was doing something silly. Like,
they just told this great story of, like, you went up, you had all of this potential, you had the spotlight, but you couldn't hack it in that spotlight, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden you were falling down. You were then on main event, you big loser.
Then
you were with Breeze.
What a dweeb.
And then you were with Breezango, and you were just doing comedy goofy stuff where you had, like, you know, you were burnt because they did like that sunbed thing. I can't remember what it was now, but it was like really, it was when they were still heels, and it was meant to be a way to sort of embarrass them. And then you saw, like, you couldn't hack it on the main roster. You couldn't hack the main roster spotlight. So you've had to crawl back to NXT to try and steal my spotlight.
Mm.
And I'm not going to let that happen.
No.
I thought Dream was marvelous here.
It's wicked. And he calls him the great value version.
Yes. So thankfully, Kenny Jones got in touch with us to say, during the Breeze Dream hype package, Dream said, you're nothing but a great value version of the Dream. Here in America, we have Walmart, and Great Value is their store brand name. So it's basically like Tesco's Finest.
Sainsbury's Basics.
Sainsbury's Basics, Tesco's Own. The Asda one. Asda Smart Price.
Asda Smart
Price. Because Tesco's Finest.
Waitrose
is like the
Essential.
Stuff.
It's not Tesco Finest.
Tesco Value.
Dream would be the Tesco Finest.
That's right, yes. Yeah, but he's not the finest.
No, that's
not Kona
the Tesco finest Kona Reeves. The Dream is the Kona Reeves.
That's right, yeah. So it's Sainsbury's
Breeze
basic.
It's confusing.
Which I thought was a really nice line. It's like, you're a discount version
of
the Velveteen Dream. But you've also got Tyler Breeze in there as well, because this whole promo is built around, like, I remember Tyler Breeze. Now you mention it, I remember Tyler Breeze. He was that guy that did all this. And you have Tyler Breeze going, like, I remember that Tyler Breeze. That Tyler Breeze was kicking ass in NXT. Breeze was having matches with Jushin Thunder Liger. That Tyler Breeze was doing all this amazing stuff before you even got here.
Mm-hmm.
This is my NXT. Like, he calls himself a staple of NXT.
Yeah.
I thought both guys were awesome in this promo package. And it genuinely, for a match that's had 2 weeks' worth of build, I'm probably more excited about this match than any other match on the card.
It was such a smart pick to choose Breeze.
Yeah.
Like, when you're in need of a desperate replacement, and you all the guys who've gone up to the main roster, like, Breeze has probably had one of the worst times out of anyone in NXT, still managed, even through all the rubbish they've made him do, managed to retain, like, being a fun performer. Like, he's over people, like, in the sense that, like, people know who he is and are like, actually, you know what, Fashion Files, really funny. Like, all that kind of, there's a lot of stuff he's managed to do despite what they keep giving him that makes him really impressive. And I think it's such a good choice to just go, if we just bring him back to NXT, He's such a perfect counterpoint to Velveteen Dream. And they've obviously looked at it and analysed the story stuff that you can get out of it and picked the perfect line for the story.
Yeah, exactly. And it's the sort of story that the NXT audience, which is a more hardcore-based wrestling audience, can get invested in, because we're all sitting here going like, yeah, Tyler Breeze was completely mishandled on the main roster, was completely botched. And they've managed to use that. They don't use the term, they botched you on the main roster. They've turned into a character part of him.
Yeah.
Is that he went up to the main roster, couldn't get over, and now he's come back to NXT. And that's the way that Dream has spun this story.
Yeah, it's a very good choice of blurring the sort of shoot and kayfabe lines of this and just going, well, like, you know, in kayfabe, Tyler Breeze coming back to NXT is like he's like walking in, I'm an A-lister now because I'm on this show. And here I am back in NXT, and Dream's like, no, that's not, we know that that's not true.
That's not true.
This is the other side of the business that we're talking about now.
Yeah.
It's really clever. And I really like it.
That ties into a lot of Dream's entrance type stuff with the call me up Vince and things like that, where he has always been kind of blurring that line between kayfabe and shoot and things like that. You know, he's all over that on Twitter as well. Very, very clever at doing that. I thought this was absolutely awesome.
Yeah, it's really loved it.
I'm stoked for the match this weekend. We then got a recap of Baszler beating down Candice LeRae last week and being saved by Io Shirai and her kendo stick of complete death.
My God, she was a whirlwind of wood.
She went in there with zero Fs to give and a kendo stick in hand.
My Lord.
And just like, wait, there's a moment, it's funny to rewatch it again, because Marina Shafir gets hit like right in the ribs with it and she goes down like a sack of spuds, being like, Oh God. And then she stands.
Shouldn't have asked her to lay them in.
And then she stands up again and be like, all right, okay, it's time to get my second shot. And she gets hit even harder the second time. Just falls down and collapses. Oh, I felt so bad for them.
Hey, like, if you're going to hit anyone, hit the people who've done MMA.
Absolutely. The guys, as you said that in last week's show, the people would have said, lay it in.
Yeah,
like let's like
you
Ronda,
have to
like Ronda Rousey was doing on the main roster. Yep. You've got to make this look as real as possible. So do not swing for the fences.
Yeah, like
you, which is a basketball
comparative
analogy
to Bailey with a kendo stick.
Yeah, donk. It was really cool. Baszler's then doing a photo shoot. This is NXT's new thing, which is we're going to do interviews while they're doing photo shoots. Mm-hmm. So they're just standing there having their photos taken. Do we ever get to see these photos?
Where this photo shoot goes.
Because it's basically standing there with, like, you know, her mean girls behind her going like, we're so big and tough.
Muscly.
And then she walks off and there's a camera guy there and it's like, Baszler, can I get a quick interview with you? Baszler says, essentially, at TakeOver, Io's not going to have a kendo stick. It's not in the rules.
Mm-hmm.
But also, she's not going to have friends. But I've got friends. And those friends are going to be with me.
Friends aren't in the rules either.
Oh, but Baszler knows how to work those rules. Because there's two of them. One to distract the referee. Who's there going to go, doy, you're distracting me.
Yeah.
And the other one to do nefarious things.
Well, what if Io Shirai comes out with two kendo sticks dressed as friends?
Well, like Monica and Phoebe. Yeah. Is it?
Like Wilson from Castaway.
She is going to have a friend, but we'll get onto that in a little bit. Next up, we had Kushida versus Drew Gulak, a match that was set up a couple of weeks ago when Kushida was having his match against Tesco's finest, Kona Reeves. And Drew came out to have a little watcheroo.
A shifty.
This was technical wrestling.
Yeah, technical
wrestling is what this was. It was just a lot of technical wrestling, a lot of stretching, a lot of submission-based stuff. Really, really interesting. Mm. Sadly, I would say, this was clearly done at the end of a taping cycle. Crowd have seen Kushida wrestle three times by this point. It wasn't the match to get that crowd kind of like pumped back up again. This is very much like, this is literally the last, this is the last hour we're doing taping for, and the crowd were very noticeably not quiet but tired because they've been there for like 3 hours by this point, seeing a lot of the same people, and it is harder to get a reaction the third time you come out. And I think the crowd would notice to be quiet for this. Unfortunately, this wasn't the match to kind of like wake them back up.
No, this is very much a sort of like, it's like a tennis match. It's that kind of like something happens and then there's a ripple of applause.
Yeah.
And then it goes back to complete quiet.
Complete quiet again.
Yeah, and it's not the raucous kind of normal wrestling vibe you get of chants and all that kind of stuff.
Whereas I think if this had become like earlier on in the taping cycle, Yeah. This would have, like, I think this would have gotten over much bigger with the crowds.
Yes,
like, absolutely. You're right, yeah. Like, it's very, very tennis-like in the sense of people just watching the moves, watching the counters and the reversals, and then applauding.
That's what
they
I always
see.
Find, like, Zack Sabre Jr. matches is like. It's like, it's a very impressive thing to watch, but it's very hard to. It's a different thing. Like, I think wrestling, generally speaking, feels like football.
Yeah.
In the sort of sense of the way people engage with it, which is shouting at it,
yeah,
and chanting, and then Zack Sabre Jr. matches, while he comes out like a footballer, are actually just tennis matches.
But it was really good, really, really good. A lot of reversal based mm-hmm. stuff. I was really, really enjoying this.
There was some
this.
Super smart stuff in here. Like, there was like the face buster thing that Kushida did, where he lands in a way that he traps the arm.
Yeah,
and, like,
that was really smart.
It's
yeah.
really cool.
Yeah, and like getting him to the triangle and like the mm. yeah, as you say, the armbar and things like that. Very, very good. But what crucially for me, it's a different sort of match. One of the kind of things I like about NXT is one of the things I'm excited for about AEW. One yep. of the things my main criticism I have about the main roster. Every match in the main roster is the same match.
Yeah, like especially when you let people do five moves.
Exactly. It's a template match. It's basically like our podcast. Like, I have when I edit our podcast, I have a template that is set mm-hmm. up, and I just edit around that template because it's the quickest way for me to edit the show.
Yes.
And that's what main roster stuff is. There's a template match, and everyone just follows that template. Whereas here, there's no template you need to follow. It's just like, go out and have your submission-based stretching out match.
Yeah.
And it's going to be completely different to Mia Yim versus Bianca Belair. It's going to be completely different to this tag main event. Variety is the spice of life.
And it's going to be completely different to what Kushida did with Kona Reeves.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there was a lot of technical moves in that match, but it was also a higher-paced version of Kushida. So it's like it's showing... We're getting the range of Kushida presented to us. It's like he can do stretching. He can do like really quick running around stuff.
He can also turn off the lights by tapping his wrist. Love it. Perfect. Love that entrance.
He's got an Apple Watch. That's all he's got.
Love Kushida.
Siri, turn off the lights.
Big fan of Kushida. As we were sort of saying during the Super Chat portion of this as well, I hope Drew Gulak sticks around in NXT.
Mm, yeah, yeah.
I think he's better served in NXT
Again,
than he is on 205
Live.
Just
the open
Live.
Door policy. That's what I want.
Wildcards
for those smaller brands.
Kathy Kelly was backstage. Didn't they say as well that the wildcard, it was the 24/7 rule applied, that you could, like, all NXT or NXT UK guys could go for it as well? But
you can go to the barbecue if you want to. Like,
yeah, seen none of that. So
Dave Mastiff's just going to turn up and go, I want it now, and that's it.
Flawless. Dave Mastiff didn't just walk into the studio.
That was,
that was
Andy.
That was a flawless. Kathy Kelly was backstage with Io Shirai. Io says she doesn't need friends or a kendo stick. She's just going to beat up Shayna Baszler this weekend. But then she does get an ooh friend as Candice LeRae walks up to her and says that she's going to be in Io's corner this mm-hmm. coming weekend. Nice. I like to see Candice in this as well, because Candice has been underserved on NXT since she's come in. So it's nice to see her get inserted into a storyline that isn't Gargano based.
You shouldn't have married Johnny Gargano. It's been bad for your wrestling.
Oh, bless her.
I think that's the thing. It's like she has just been side piece to that whole thing.
She is Mrs. Gargano.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is unfortunate, really. But this, now she's away from Gargano. She's doing her own storyline, and that's good.
Yes.
That's very good. We then got a hype package for Gargano as NXT champion, which then transitions, which is why I tripped over my words, into Gargano versus Cole. And you've got Cole saying, like, I keep thinking about New York. Now, if this was any other NXT match, I'd be NXT champion because I won. I beat him first.
Yeah.
You got Gargano reminding him. And I think that's a nice little twist on this, of like, of the 2 out of 3 falls match, being like, dude, I won.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I scored the first win. Any other match, I'd be champ.
Yeah.
It's really nice. I think it's a nice bit of character beat for him.
It is, yeah. It's perfect Cole thinking, is what it is.
Yeah, that's exactly it, yeah. And he says that he thinks about New York and it makes him sick to his stomach because he should be champion at this point.
I love Adam Cole. He's so good.
Really, really good video package. Mm-hmm. Good hype for... And, like, I think that...
I loved all the interviews with all the people from Cleveland and stuff at the beginning of it. It was such a, like, it was so well put together of, like, this is Johnny's sort of coming of age moment within NXT, and like,
yeah, and it's things like, as you say, the way that they've been framing Johnny as like the champion of the people, going back to his hometown of Cleveland, Cleveland, as a, to quote Scott Howard the Duck, and going back there, which is why I think they're not going to take the title off of him anytime soon, because I think they are sort of presenting him as the people's champ at the moment, and it's too soon to be taking the belt off of him, because you can do more of this kind of stuff. So I think that we could probably see Gargano.
He's a great figurehead for NXT, and especially if you want to grow NXT as a brand globally, like having this super over baby face.
And a great story to tell.
Yeah.
Of like, he wasn't, you know, he wasn't supposed to be here today. He wasn't supposed to be with NXT. He was only called in for a one-shot deal.
Yeah.
But he worked, he grafted, and now he's on top of the game. Like, I think it's a really interesting story to tell as your champion.
The transformative power of wrestling.
Exactly. So that was this week's NXT. What did you think?
I thought it was very good. I think it's it did enough to make me excited for the weekend. And I think, I was discussing this earlier, actually, with housemate Simon on the housemate Simon trip into work, in which, like, almost not as excited for TakeOver this time as I was for the last few. And I think, one, because it's not on a sort of big weekend of, like, WWE stuff. So it's not like we're going to get this and then we're going to get that. And there's all of this build to one culmination wrestling weekend. But also just because I feel like we're not even 2 months from the last TakeOver.
Yeah.
And normally we've just got a little bit of extra time to be like, get keen, like really be invested.
Yeah.
So I just feel like this episode finally sort of tipped me over the edge to be like, okay, I am excited now.
Yeah.
I am finally on board with the TakeOver thing. Because before that, I was nonplussed, really.
I think with the... I'm really looking forward to the... I think the card is stacked. Like, it's a really...
Yes,
as a five-match lineup, it is absolutely, like, incredible. Mm-hmm. That four-way tag match with the ladder is going to be absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
It's going to be really, really good. And I also think that there are reservations... Not reservations, but are sort of like the reason why we weren't on the Gargano versus Cole from TakeOver was match of the year. And we were more on the Walter versus Dunn was the best match of the night, which I still stand by. I really do think
I
it
really
was.
Do think so.
Is what the 2 out of 3 falls stipulation kind of held it back.
Yes.
Because I don't think they really played with that. During the match, I don't think they played with it enough. They played with it very well since with Cole using the I should be champion because I scored the first fall. But I don't think it worked for that match at that time.
No.
Here now, it's just a 1-4 match. Mm-hmm. I think this one is going to be better. I think I'm going to enjoy this one more than I enjoyed the TakeOver match.
Yeah, and I think I'll caveat my earlier point as well by saying that like the other problem is that a lot of the card has been subject to change because of injuries and just general changes to the entire roster being pillaged by the main roster. So, like, it was kind of hard to get excited for this TakeOver because so much of it was just, like, up in the air until the last 2 weeks. And it's only really all come together and convalesced into this, like, one thing.
Mm. Yeah, it's interesting you say that. Yeah.
Whereas before, like, you always kind of get the sense of where the story's going and who's going to be in that picture.
Yeah.
Going into a TakeOver quite a while in advance, usually. So
interesting as well. Was it Mike Johnson? Who was reporting that apparently one of the plans for this, because they one of the reasons this was announced so late is they didn't have a location for it. Mm-hmm. It was like between like three places. Yeah. It was like Connecticut is where it's going to be. Then there was a couple of other places they were thinking of doing it. One of them was Saudi Arabia.
Oh, God.
And they were going to do it before Super Showdown. So it was going to be like the NXT, like they would do for WrestleMania. It'd be like NXT TakeOver Saudi Arabia or NXT TakeOver Jeddah or whatever it is.
Wow.
But
to go from the normal, like, hyper into the TakeOver crowd to the Saudi Arabia crowd, which is 90% people on their phones.
Yeah.
My Lord.
It would have been a very, very different experience. But I did say to Randy, I was like, well, that is one way to get the fans on your side to do these Saudi Arabia shows. Just like, we hate you for doing these shows. Ah, but NXT. Oh, well. I do want to see Gargano versus Cole.
Yeah,
so
I don't know if that will, but I think that would make people crosser. I just think that's more fuel on the fire.
On paper, it seems like a really smart idea. But I'm much
prefer... That's putting out a fire with petrol, what I think.
I'm glad that it's TakeOver 25 in Connecticut. On its own, and this is like it's on its own. It's not attached to a show. It's not attached to a main roster show. So it's very interesting to see that we are getting this TakeOver. It's annoying that it's happened on a weekend that we've all got things booked for.
Yeah,
damn it, WWE.
But this is part of this is also part of like it being on its own weekend is kind of finally putting sort of paid to what Triple H was saying when he was like NXT is the third brand of WWE. It's not the under brand. It is the third one.
Yeah, poor old 205 Live. Nobody gets remembered, does it? What is that? The fourth, fifth brand? Is it below NXT UK?
It's barely a brand, isn't
it? I think actually it is below NXT UK because NXT UK does better viewership-wise on the network. Yeah. So maybe that's the fifth brand.
They could change Jackson Ryker's name to Jeddah Riyadh just for the show.
JR? Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Dick, dick, diggity, dick, diggity, dog. Quicken. Dick, dick. We've got some super chats, Randy.
We have got plenty, starting with Connor Barth, who says, Adam Cole hopefully picks up the win this weekend. Sorry, guys, a little late to the party. That's okay, Connor. You can join us whenever you like.
Absolutely okay. Yeah, join us whenever you like. I don't think it's a Cole win. I think I'm more set in my ways now.
Yeah.
I'm more set in my mental ways.
You're on the
ways.
Johnny Gargano train.
I'm on Gargano train here. Mm. Yeah, no, I think so.
I feel like it could go either way.
Micah Williams says, when y'all streamed AW at the beginning, I said John Moxley all the way. I knew the future. Yeah, because you were the only one, Micah.
Mm. Yeah.
Everyone said John Moxley, didn't they?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, it was our bonus question for the predictions was like, will John Moxley be at the show? Because I think, and everyone said yes, because we all sort of figured that he would be at the show.
I feel like the date was in the video, so.
Yeah, he kind of like dropped some hints for it. But I think that they were looking to make a big splash with that first show. And to do that, I mean, that's the thing that most people are talking about coming out of it. So
yeah.
I think it was a really smart play for them to have that debut. What a great podcast he did with Jericho as well.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, really, really good stuff.
Here's one you'll definitely agree with, Luke. Mm-hmm. Start Recording says, non-WWE, but Godzilla made me tear up from epicness.
Oh, really? I thought it was fine. It's below fine. I liked watching...
Sub-fine.
It was sub-fine. Like,
it was fine. Below fine. I hated it. It was the worst film I've ever seen.
It was an abomination!
I liked it more than Aladdin. But it was a case of, like... I liked watching the monsters because I'm a fan of Godzilla. Like, I've grown up watching these movies. So to watch it with, like, 2019 special effects and things like that, that was kind of, like, mind-blowing to me. But at the same time, it was pretty pants.
There's no plot.
And it was also murky as hell. Hated the color scheme of it. It was just brown. Brown, brown, gray, and brown.
Like the Game of Thrones series 8 episode.
Three. The Long Night.
Yeah.
It's brown.
Yes.
Too much brown.
Judas Black, thankfully not with another basketball question, says Dean Ambrose confirmed for Super Arabia.
It could be. Wildcard, mate.
Yeah. Vince Russo thinks
it's all
work.
A work.
Yeah, it is. We're all in bed together.
It's a work, brother.
Ratnesh Singh Bagri says, do you guys watch cricket? No, I do, yes. I'm a very big fan of cricket.
No, I once go, I played cricket at school once because I was made to do PE. We once had to play cricket, and what a boring game that is.
Oh,
but
slow.
I was very good at sports at school because I was very good at avoiding everything. Like, I was trying to find the places where you could stand as far away from action so it never really comes towards you.
I can so see you doing that.
I was very, very good at this. But my teacher did catch me on one occasion when we were playing cricket, and he made me move forward. And the first thing that happened is I got hit in the chest with a cricket ball because the lad hit it, and I just stood there.
Because like, you'd had no practice.
I had no practice.
Yeah.
And so I just stood there and just went bonk, bounce, and it just hit me in the chest like a proper poof, like smack in the chest. Oh.
The best bit about
and then, what did the teacher say? Pick it up. It's like, just got hit with a ball, mate.
Someone fired a cannon at me.
Exactly.
Well, no, I just want to play and watch my movies, play my video games, and listen to my music.
I don't want to do sports. I'm not a sports kid.
Great. Cricket is amazing.
Cricket
and
is
being
major boring.
Andy always plays as the stumps.
Getting hit by the cricket ball is one of the joys. Michael Williams says, where's the beer?
He said the dominatrix to the sub. What? Sorry?
Where's the beer?
Which beer?
The Beer 52.
Oh, we're not sponsored by them at the moment, although there is a crate down there. A crate that I brought from home because we use it for the Money in the Bank.
Did we drink all of that?
Oh, there was one can left.
Oh.
Yeah. Heavy night, mate.
I missed one. Damn.
We can use it.
I thought I'd got them all.
But Luke, maybe we could use it for tomorrow. What are we recording tomorrow?
That's right, we are. We only talked about this on the podcast. So yes, we are going to be doing Ramble Club tomorrow for our Patreon pledge hammers over on Patreon.
Mm-hmm. Where they are.
Yep.
Where they live.
At the $10 level, you get Ramble Club, which is usually me, Ollie, and Laurie having a few drinks and talking about questions. Any questions. It is like it's very rarely wrestling related. It's just us chatting nonsense for an hour and a half. But Ollie is doing business today, so he can't record it. And also, he's off to Northern Ireland tomorrow for a stag do.
Northern Ireland.
Or a bachelor party for our American viewers, as we mentioned earlier. So we're going to change up a little bit. And it's going to be me, Laurie, housemate Simon, Chopper Pete, and Randy just sitting around having a chat for an hour and a half, having a few beers, answering questions from our Patreon pledge hammer. So do get involved. patreon.com/wrestletalk at the $10 level, and you'll get that episode tomorrow.
Wonderful stuff. Good setup as well. Jobber JJ says, what is your favorite takeover of all time?
Great question.
I forget which one, what they are.
Yeah,
no, I remember the matches and I don't remember the show.
That's it. I think because there are certain, I would have said previously Chicago 1. because I loved that Pete Dunne Tyler Bate match.
That's so good.
And the tag ladder match as well. But I've recently rewatched it for Patreon, because if you donate at the $10 level, you also get the $5 backer, where we also get Rest Rabble Extra, where we just reviewed that show. That show also has a fine match between Roderick Strong and Eric Young, and a fine women's three-way between Asuka, Ruby Riot, and Nikki Cross. Mm. So it's not like a incredible show.
No.
But it has got an outstanding match between Pete Dunne and Tyler Bates, and a really great ladder match between DIY and AOP, which has then got the DIY split angle at the end.
Which is the Toronto one with the DIY 3-2 out of 3.
That was the first Toronto. Yeah. And that's really good as well. That Revival DIY match is insanely good. But like the Asuka Mickey James match is fine.
Yeah.
Like it's not great.
Yeah.
So I think there's sometimes with NXT shows, I would need to go back and look at every card to find out which one's got the most incredible matches on it. Like the ratio of incredible to that is really good, but it's not as good as like, you know, the best matches on the card.
There's normally like one weaker match or like one or two weaker match on every takeover. And it's those matches that tip the balance, I think.
You had it last year when I was away in Canada when you did the takeover review, which was the EC3 match. Mm. It was the EC3 Velveteen Dream.
Oh, yeah.
It was an amazing card. Like, that had Adam Cole Ricochet on it and like amazing matches.
Oh, that was the moonsault where he kicks him in the head.
It had amazing matches. But then you've got that EC3 Velveteen Dream match in there. It's a bit of a clunker.
Yeah.
So, I'd have to go back and look at all the
which
cards.
Is kind of the proto version of what we're getting now with Tyler Breeze. It's that same ego versus ego kind of thing. And it didn't really pay off because I don't think EC3 is very
good. You've seen that they're now reporting that WWE gave up on EC3 after his feud with Dean Ambrose. They just decided that's it. No, not using him again.
And that was what we sort of figured at the time, really, is because he came, like, they brought him up to the main roster, didn't know what to do with him. And then
they didn't know what to do with anyone they brought up at that series of lame call-ups.
On their way to WWE. And he had that match with Dean Ambrose when Dean Ambrose said he was leaving, which he won. And everyone was like, oh, man. Well, I mean, Dean Ambrose is obviously doing a lot of jobs. But then what happened, according to Ambrose as well, Moxley, I should say at this point, according to Moxley on the Jericho podcast, is that they were then having a series of house show matches. Like they were just on the house show loop working together. Moxley's supposed to be the heel, so he's doing everything he can to get booed. But because the news has broken that he's leaving WWE and he's sort of being treated as this hero, he's getting the babyface reaction and EC3 is getting booed.
Yeah.
So you get to Raw, Dean Ambrose beats EC3, and then he just becomes a babyface. Yeah. EC3's done nothing since. And apparently that was when they gave up on him. It's like, well, EC3 couldn't get over.
Well, Meltzer
confirmed it. Because you did the wrong thing with him.
Yeah, so apparently it was just like, because Dean Ambrose got over as a babyface, that's why EC3...
That's EC3's fault.
That's EC3's
fault. For being
fault.
Told to work babyface.
It's EC3's fault.
Against Dean Ambrose.
Exactly, and they tried to manage a thing with him because I reckon he probably said, give me Drake Maverick as a manager and we can make this work.
Yeah.
And he had a match with Luke Harper on the Dark match before SmackDown after Mania. And apparently the story is Vince hated it. Vince absolutely hated it and he doesn't like managers. And
he doesn't like Luke Harper, though.
Well, that was it. Apparently it was Luke Harper's fault in that case. But that's why neither of them are getting used.
Vince is insane.
That podcast is like...
Just watching a
it's everything
lunatic
that we all knew.
Do stuff,
that's what I found most interesting about it. Like, that's actually going to be the topic for the Saturday Ramble is Dean Ambrose or is Jon Moxley right about WWE? But I felt that everything that was said on that podcast was everything we already knew because that's all the stuff that's been reported for the last few years. It's what Meltzer's been saying for ages. It's what PW Insider have been saying. It's what Pro Wrestling Torch... It's what Fightful have been saying. WrestleWorks, everyone's been saying this is what's going on, but a lot of people are like, nah, well, they're not there. They don't know. Yeah. Bruce Pritchard says it's fine. He works there. He would know.
Yeah.
And then Moxley comes out and be like, no, it's exactly what you think.
Yeah.
It's exactly as you would imagine it would be.
WrestleVerse just tweeted to say, I spoke to a few guys this week. It's exactly the same.
Yeah, exactly. And it is very much a case of everyone thinks the same thing.
Anyway. Scared to talk to the boss in case he goes, you're going to get a jab.
My favorite part of that was like, don't go into him with a noun because he'll turn a noun into a prop.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Start recording, doing a bit of auditioning for Sherlock Holmes here. Takeovers always have 5 matches, I've noticed.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're not wrong.
Robert Caruso says,
you got this, man.
It's because they've got 4 belts.
Oh, okay. Money for my fellow follically challenged bros. None for Andy, because I have...
No
money for Andy. Although
that's a policy we work on here.
You're starting to lose it, though, aren't you, brother?
I don't know. Like,
join
maybe.
The club.
Maybe.
Yeah. It's fine, mate. It's not that noticeable, so you're all right.
Bite the bullet and shave it off, mate. Just bite the bullet.
I have a very big head.
Yeah, I know, but dude, I had the same thing, man. Like, when my barber said to me 2 years ago, "You got about 2 years left," I was like, "Well, I'm just gonna I'm gonna ride it out for these 2 years." Or? Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, and then he slit my throat, and then I've got two years left.
Sweeney Todd.
So I've got 2 years left, and then I got to those 2 years, and that was when I thought, yeah, "It's time for this to go now." Yeah. I think I've fought this long and hard, but it's starting to look ridiculous.
I just have quite a light bulb shaped head. I don't know if you can see. Oh, it's not on the thingy, but I've got the.
Yeah,
that line.
Got the M-Ed going on.
Yeah.
M-Ed.
Anyway.
I've got M-Ed.
That's where I was. At university, I had the M-Ed. Mm. I still had long hair at that point. And I did think I might just ride it out and I'd just look like Hulk Hogan. I'd just have it all.
Oh, yeah.
With like my fine doll's hair. Oh. Around the back.
Start wearing bandanas.
Danny, your boy DeVito says, "Super chatting is easier than Patreon. Change my mind." You don't get as many perks.
Yeah, you don't get as many perks. Yeah.
You just get me, reading. Yeah. Yeah, Danny. Kratos is Forgotten Son says, "Hello again, my friends.
Speaking of Patreon.
Yes. No question for today, but I like saying thank you for all the hard work you guys do. Support WrestleTalk and Screen Stalker."
Thank you so much, Kratos.
Thank you. And yeah, support Screen Stalker.
I've done two videos of Screen Stalker this week, and it has been wonderful.
It's nice not talking about wrestling sometimes.
Do you know what? I was on the tube the other day.
Especially when the wrestling has been like... You've had the highs of AEW and then WWE's 2 days worth of responses, AEW was like, boom, 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 shots fired. And WWE went, it was like your opening to this.
And that was basically the noise they made. But the last couple of days just writing about Godzilla have been exhilarating. It's been wonderful. I've had a whale of a time. And I didn't have to watch SmackDown. It was grand.
Let's have a look. Next one is Start Recording Again says, "Would you rather..." See, I think "would you rather" questions should be more frequent now because they're great. We can do them tomorrow in the Ramble Club. "Would you rather only talk with Michael Cole catchphrases for a week or wear a Divas Championship shirt for a week?"
Divas Championship shirt? Like, it's only a T-shirt.
Yeah, it's only a T-shirt. Yeah. You can wear it inside out.
Yeah. Only the T-shirt, nothing else.
But even then, like, it's just a T-shirt. What, with a belt on it? Ooh, embarrassing. Ooh. Like,
I know, that'd be fun. I mean, nothing else.
Even then, it's still just a T-shirt.
Tom, a large one.
Tomo says...
I don't need that much to cover. Like,
I do.
37, yeah. "Is Kushida still the best? Like I said a few weeks ago, love you guys. Hug even Pete. Hugs Pete."
Yeah, no, Kushida's awesome.
He's great. He's really
awesome.
Versatile.
Yeah, once you had an elevator with him, he's terrified.
"I once shared an elevator with the Fijian national rugby team, and I've never felt so small in my life." Hangman AJ Wilson says...
"I think
it
was his elevator." Is it a freight elevator?
No, it was at a...
It's probably about 20 people in this elevator.
There's
like,
in this
pretty
team.
Sure he's got weight
like
limits.
15 like. Dudes?
Three people. I was...
well, that's not what you said.
I was at university...
That's not a team.
I was at university in Cardiff, and they were...
They do rugby trios.
They were staying at the hotel where my gym was.
So really, the story is, I was in an elevator
so
with
Andy,
three people.
Yeah. "I'm the only one who knows anything about sports." Doesn't know how many people are in a rugby team.
How many people are on a rugby team?
Seven.
It's 15.
I said 15 earlier, thank you.
Seven in a rugby sevens team. Hangman AJ Wilson says, 24/7 title to be at TakeOver.
No. Okay. That's actually not the worst shout in the world. Yeah.
Quite
he
fun.
Could be in the crowd with it.
Yeah, it might be a way to pop people. Yeah. Like, I don't know. He said, like, you cut to people in the crowd. It's our truth standing there with the bio, and then all of a sudden someone tries to attack him. Like Tesco's Finest tries to attack Truth.
Well, and Tesco's are 24/7.
There you go. They brawl into the ring. Truth pins him.
Depends
and goes
on which
on
ones
way.
They are, though, Andy. All the metros. True.
That could be a bit of fun, actually. That's a great shout.
Mm. Well, there you go. Robert Caruso says, "Greetings from AEW country of Jacksonville, Florida." Mm.
Yeah. The home of Jason from Good Place.
Yeah, what I was thinking.
Jaguars, whoa. And they picked Jacksonville because it's awful.
Yes.
Star Recording, thank you so much. You're being very generous today. It says, "Which two WWE stars from any brand would have the best submission match?"
Which two stars from
any brand
would have the best submissions match?
I mean, Gulak should be in there, definitely.
Yeah. Then
O'Reilly.
Riley, yeah. So, I'm going to go with that.
Joe.
Tamina and Dana Brooke.
If you're going to say Joe's a good show, if you're going to say two brands, I'm going to say Gulak and Kyle O'Reilly. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
That would be a lot of fun.
Pete Dunne. Pete Dunne is really good for his map-based work. Yeah, a lot of good options there. Not many people in the main roster. Cesaro, maybe.
Baszler and...
Baszler's great show. Rousey.
Liverpool's
number one.
Oh, that'd be fun.
What's the next one? Tim.
Much submissions rounds. She's got that one that she does. Yeah. The old armbar.
Yeah. And she tells you she's going to do it about 20 seconds beforehand.
I'm going to break her arm.
I'm going
to
do it.
It's very hard to get out of at that point.
Absolutely.
No.
Tim.
Get out of the damn way.
Stephanie McMahon blocked it for ages. Tim Arndt says, do you reckon the 24/7 title will show up in NXT, or has Vince already forgotten that the title can go there, or doesn't Triple H want it on his show?
I think it'd be... as I said,
I imagine Triple H doesn't want it on his show.
Yeah, I think it'd be a fun little thing, though, for TakeOver. Yeah. I don't think like an NXT guy will win it.
No.
Or if he does, Truth will win it back at the end of the night. But like, I think the problem with the 24/7 title going to NXT is you've then got to plan in advance who's going to have the belt for Monday. And so you'd have to, because you tape 4 weeks worth of TV.
Yeah.
You can't do a title change that's then different to what happens on Raw. Yeah.
No.
Because Raw's like Raw and SmackDown are live.
Yeah.
So you've got to know, if this was one cohesive company, which it should be, if this was one cohesive company where you could plan this out, then yeah, you could have the 24/7 brand, the 24/7 title go to NXT and NXT UK and plan ahead. Because you'd be like, okay, cool. Well, we've taped this week, which means that Kona Reeves was champ at the end of this. So we can mention that on Raw. But by the end of this taping cycle, Truth's going to be the champion again. Yeah. So we've got to know in 4 weeks' time on Raw, we've got a segment with Truth with the championship belt over here.
Yeah.
So it's hard to kind of line them up. But with NXT TakeOver being live, as long as your WWE main roster guy's got the belt by the end of the night, you can get away with it.
Or as long as you send the NXT guy to Raw for the night. Like, you know.
It's always pop. Again, then that only works if it's a cohesive company.
Yeah, exactly. You can do that stuff, but also 24/7 belt.
Yeah, there's a lot of people really hoping for like Brock's going to cash in for the 24/7 title. And I'm like, I mean, it's a job. It's a joke belt. Yeah. Like, it's a joke title.
It's a joke title that they had no thoughts of jokes for. Like, this is the problem. Is like, they didn't...
It's the Big Bang Theory.
They haven't had a meeting where they've gone like, oh, what would be really good ideas to do with this like fun belt? They were just like, oh, just give it to R-Truth and he can do like goofy running around stuff. Like, Drake Maverick's having a whale of a time with it on Twitter. But I feel like that's all self...
That's just him
fueled,
doing his own
thing. He's just doing his own thing. And like, I get that was part of the reason for it. But on the telly product, you've got to do some thinking and write some jokes or at least have some segments for it.
Maybe.
Yeah. Not maybe. Yes!
Jared Thomas says, are you looking forward to Moxley versus Juice Robinson?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. And the rumor is as well that he might be part of the G1. Which would be very, very cool as well. So there's a lot of interesting people he could have matches with. That's what Tony Khan was saying, that basically until they start on weekly TV, he's free to do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I could definitely see Moxie being part of the G1. But him against Juice Robinson would be a lot of fun as
well. Yeah, that'd be really good.
Yeah. I'm excited to see anything that Moxie's doing at the moment. Kind of like, all of a sudden, my interest in Moxie's been completely reignited.
Yeah, I feel like it's that same refresh that when he returned from injury and he was... all bulky and shaved the head and stuff. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so ready to see what Dean Ambrose does now.
Wacky Dean is gone. We've got prison Dean. This is really interesting.
Yeah, and then he went straight back to being Wacky Dean again. Like, okay, well. Yeah.
Getting injections in the butt.
Sad times.
Yeah.
I just hope he's developed that one more move because I'm just so bored of his matches. What am I doing?
Randy shoots hard on him.
Shoots hard. He's going to block me on Twitter.
I agree with that, though. I do think like Dean Ambrose was coasting in WWE, but how could you not coast when you're not given anything to work with? Like,
well, that's it.
And
yeah.
I think the thing is, like, the thing the Jericho podcast proves is he's got a very deep understanding of what his character is, what he should be doing, how to simply pop crowds is another thing. He understands the very fundamental basics of putting together a show. Like he said about his return when Seth Rollins introduces him, like, introduces him, then the music plays, and then by the time he's come out, the pop's died.
Yeah.
Like, the pop is for when Seth says something, and not for the performer who gets to come out.
Yeah,
so, like,
no,
just play the music, or better yet, just come in.
Yeah. I think that I would say, in defense of Dean Ambrose matches, and he, you know, mentioned this on the podcast, and he was like, I don't have any creative license in this.
No.
Because I got to work, all my promos were scripted, all my matches are laid out by producers and agents. I don't input anything into this.
No.
And so I think that's what a lot of the boys in the back of the line was like, well, we don't do anything. We are literally actors. We're not wrestlers anymore.
We're just doing.
We are following the beats.
We're
following the beats that we're told to follow.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why some people have these amazing matches because they're laid out to have amazing matches. And some people have bland matches because they've been laid out to be bland matches.
Yeah.
Which is the problem with, as we said, your creative process sucks.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see him coming out to not...
Hated that music. It's my one thing against Dean Ambrose. I've always hated his theme music. It's absolute crap.
What about
rubbish?
Anyway, let's move on.
Shoots vitriol.
Shoots hard on Dean Ambrose's theme tune.
Dicked on Moxley for the
Jobber JJ says, to make it easier, I'm not sure this does make it easier, actually. Was your favourite ever TakeOver match?
Dunn Bate.
Oh, so hard.
Dunn Bate's easily my favourite.
Oh, Dunn Bate was so good.
Or Walter Dunn, actually.
Walter Dunn.
Yeah.
Gargano Almas.
Gargano Almas is a really good show. That first one they had at Brooklyn.
Yeah, really I loved Gargano Ciampa 3 as well. Yep. Yeah, although most people like two more. Both are very good.
Yeah. That DIY Revival match from Toronto.
North American title ladder match.
Yeah. There's a plethora to pick from.
Yeah, like you said, the Revival DIY.
Bailey Banks from Brooklyn 1.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Bailey Banks was an amazing match. Loved that match.
Sami Zayn, well, it wasn't even a TakeOver match. Just Sami Zayn, Shinsuke Nakamura.
That was TakeOver.
It was TakeOver, wasn't it? Yeah. So that match.
Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens.
That had a really fascinating finish. Sure, yeah. Really, really fascinating finish, which I just didn't see. And it was such an interesting layout for a match. So, yeah, I think that would be up there. I'm not sure it would be one of my favourites, but it certainly would be setting the conversation.
Start recording says, Walter versus Luchasaurus, please.
Two big lads.
Slapping each other. As Drew McIntyre put it, with him talking about having a match with Walter, it'd just be two big lads slapping each other. Carly Strayer says, Laurie is the man and did an amazing super kick.
Oh, yeah,
I did, yeah.
Very good super kick as Laurie.
Yeah, I practice a lot at home.
Yeah.
Much to everyone's annoyance. They're like, stop super kicking me.
Judas Black says, where's Victor Vega? I'm asking the same thing with his strange messages. And then Sean Martinez has just donated to have Luke say, and I can hear it later in the podcast version, come on you Reds, we're forever Liverpool.
I mean, come on you Reds, forever Liverpool. Like, I don't care.
Do it with less.
Oh, wait, sorry. No. He actually said come on you Blues, forever Everton. But sorry, we'll have to move past that one.
Cool. I mean, I said some words.
Forever. Like,
you know what I mean? The words that don't mean anything. Come on you Blues also doesn't really mean anything.
Come on you Blues.
There are loads of blue football teams. There are loads of red football teams.
No, just the one. Subscribe 2 says, how come there wasn't a double or nothing ramble?
Logistics again kind of got in the way. Mm-hmm. It was unfortunate a weekend where we already had things sorted out for the Sunday, and then Monday was a bank holiday here in the UK, so I was the only person in the office. Mm-hmm. And then by that point, you're in on Tuesday, you've got Raw and SmackDown and things like that to do. It just unfortunately, so we did it on the podcast, so if you are a podcast listener, you can hear our thoughts on it there. But it was just a case of we couldn't ever get around to doing it. Mm-hmm. We wanted to do it, really, really wanted to do it. We're doing it for like Fyter Fest and Fight for the Fallen down the line. Just we wanted to do it for Double or Nothing. It's just we couldn't get it to work out.
Yeah,
it was a real shame.
Tomo, two more, both from Tomo. First says, ever since you started watching wrestling, who has been your personal favorite face and heel?
Raven for both.
Raven for both. Oh, I don't know.
And The Rock's actually. The Rock's my favorite babyface of all time.
I did used to love The Rock.
Loved The Rock when I was a kid.
Scotty Too Hotty.
Oh!
Used to love
Now
Scotty
you're talking about baby faces.
I used to love Scotty Too Hotty as a baby amazing. Face. Yeah, wasn't he incredible?
So good.
Favourite heel was Kevin Owens.
Of all time.
Chuck Palumbo.
Favourite heel.
Jamie Noble.
He was a really... Yeah. I'm trying to think of what my favourite heels were. Cactus Jack's actually another one for babyface as well. Like that 2000 run he had. Well, that very early 2000 run he had. I'm not sure for favourite heels ever since I've been watching wrestling. Now, I wasn't really paying attention a lot around that time. Mm. Like, when Edge was on top, I was really done with WWE.
I don't mean even when Edge was on top. I mean when it was Edge and Christian.
Oh, actually. That's really good. Because I really didn't like Edge and Christian.
Yeah, I hate them.
I loved to hate them. Yeah, so yeah, maybe Edge and Christian.
And Jericho when he was doing heel runs.
Umaga.
Well, like, that
I loved
time.
Umaga.
Actually, Umanga.
Umanga.
It's for Regal.
Gotta read your manga.
You gotta read your manga.
Go on, go home and read your manga.
And most recently, just Daniel Bryan, both.
Yeah. Bryan is a baby face and as a heel has been terrific.
And lastly, Tomo says, speaking of Bate versus Dunn, WWE just posted the full match on their YouTube channel. So
well, there you go. If you're not a subscriber, if you're not a network subscriber even, you can go and watch that match because it is absolutely chef's kiss. And they did that because we just recently reviewed it on Wrestle Ramble Extra. I've been told that by my WWE sources. They were like, yeah, we had so many people telling us that your review was so good that we had to put the match for free up on YouTube. Direct quotes from Vince.
I hate it when they do that. Yeah.
So apparently, would you rather questions are quite popular. Amongst the youth, is that what you're suggesting, Randy?
No, amongst the people on YouTube.
Oh, okay. Because the only would you rather question I've had posed to me that was interesting is one we've done on this podcast before. But I don't think I've asked you about this yet. Which is, would you rather spend the rest of your life with a damp towel or damp toilet paper?
Damp towel, I think. Damp toilet paper, there's so much opportunity for your fingers to go through it and in and around your bum hole.
See, I went for damp towel as well because I'm like, I mean, you still get dry. Yeah. Also, you can air dry.
You can just not use the towel.
Ollie wanted wet toilet paper, though.
He did, because he suggested you can install a bidet.
You could.
I don't like the feeling of that, though.
Well, if you wanted to blow your nose,
yeah,
like, you need the toilet paper for that.
The clean towel.
Your hand and in the sink.
Yeah.
Gross. Like you did in the shower. What about, would you rather have sticky hands for the rest of your life or itchy hands for the rest of your life? Like, really sticky.
See, that's a tough one because I'm weird about my hands.
Yeah, I don't like sticky.
I don't like crisp dust on my hands. Crisp dust on my hands is the worst thing.
But Luke eats crisp with chopsticks. Little chopsticks.
They make fun of me, Randy, at, during our D&D sessions because there have been times when I've ordered, they have like mac and cheese bites and at our draft. And I also then request like a knife and fork because I don't want to pick them up and get the dust off the breadcrumbs on my hand because it's gross and I don't like it.
Yeah, no, I get that, but you've just got to live with it, mate. Yeah. Like, you've got to man up,
mate.
Wipe that stuff off, and get on with your day.
So yeah, sticky or itchy?
Itchy's not having things on your hands, though, is it? So like, I think itchy would be better for you.
Mm.
Apart from until you itch so much that you've got scabs, and then you're like, now there are scabs.
Also, I reckon you can ignore an itch easier. So I'd go with itchy hands. You can ignore that.
I'd go itchy, sticky, but would just wear gloves all the time.
But then they're sticky inside the gloves.
No, but if you just wore a glove,
they're sticking to the inside of the gloves.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good answer, though. It's a good answer.
Itchy, I'm going with.
Let's have this email in from Mark.
I would just hold the wet towel the entire time to soothe them.
Who is sending in a marathon hyping update plus a barbershop window email. He says, hello, Luke, Ollie, etc., but not that one child. I wanted to wait for my girlfriend's parents to send me pictures to attach, but I'm back to update y'all on the half marathon gig we did last Saturday. This is a little while back. This was early May. Firstly, my name is Mark, but I had it as Jake since YouTube requires you to have a name, but I put that in as my fake alias. As stated previously, we played a 4-hour set, including 10 songs we repeated several times, including tracks by The Red Hot Chili Peppers, Green Day, and Elton John. We had some great crowd reactions since we were between mile 12 and 13, so most people were going slow and they had more time to appreciate our music. I've been playing bass for 10 years now, but I ended up being the guitarist since we don't know anyone who could pick that up. I suck at the guitar. So this was a guy Ollie was talking about when he was doing his marathon. There were people kind of like cheering on.
Yep.
So Mark had emailed in to say that his band was set up to play music for marathon runners as they were getting to a certain point as a kind of way to be like, hey guys, look, whoa.
What mile was it again?
Mile 10, 12 and 13.
Okay, that was a bit further than that. Because I saw some people walking back because I went to the London Marathon, right? This is, or
I can't remember if this was the London Marathon. It might have been, though.
Yeah, so I saw some people when I was walking back during the London Marathon because I'd gone to the climbing centre and it was all rammed, couldn't get on the tube. So I thought, I'll just walk back to my house, which was a couple of miles. So I just walked back through the end of the marathon, basically, because I live on the road. The marathon was going on the road outside my house. So we spent a lot of the morning watching various... like trying to spot Mo Farah and then just going like, oh, look, there's a dinosaur. He's not going to go. He's going
like Big Ben.
He's going very fast right now. He won't be later. And then, but there was a lot of people like having parties and there was a guy with a microphone just cheering every individual person on and being like, you can go, Glenn Coco. Like everyone.
Go, like, Glenn it was Coco. Just,
yeah, it was good fun.
Yeah, it's good stuff. He said there are two bits that sucked about the gig. First, it was raining the whole time. This is clearly in America because he's written dollars here. And we had over $2,000 worth of sound equipment and instruments, so we had to play under a couple of tents, which got pretty crammed. The other bit is the barbershop window, which I'll put in a second email since this one feels too long. Overall, it was a great time. I used to play this gig every year from 2009 to 2013, but just got back into it last year. Thanks for consistently staying consistent, you beautiful men. Well, thank you for that beautiful, beautiful email. We'll save your barbershop window story for next week, perhaps. But let's read out this email from Matthew, who says, "Hello, Luke, Ollie, Laurie, and the rest of the Wrestle Talk team, but definitely not Handy Fat. Handy Randy Fapson. So I ran my ninth Tough Mudder over the weekend. I didn't really train, but I kind of dieted for 1 week. Who would have thought that cutting bread and sweets from one's diet would cut 10 pounds, which is 4.6 kilograms or 0.7 of a stone.
1 week?
Yeah, apparently so.
How much bread were you eating?
It's a bloody pigeon over here. So I went back to McDonald's on Monday and ate a Big Mac meal with a 10-piece McNuggets meal. And boy, so dead tired and nauseated after the fact. Every time you mention when you ate McDonald's back in the day, Luke, that's exactly what I ate. And I wanted to make sure make that comment to you. Plus, I usually added a McRib when it was the season. Anyway, it was cool if this would be read out. Just kind of an exploration of my first dietary experience in life at the age of 34. Love you guys. Stay consistent. Assistant Fox from Texas. Picture it didn't happen. With me on the left, my brother-in-law and my niece. That's them there.
Tough
finishing
mudders.
Tough Mudder.
Tough Mudder. They are the worst. I've done one and it was the worst morning of my life.
Brag.
No, it was awful.
I like cricket and Tough Mudder. King of the jocks, Andy Datsun.
I like golf as well.
Well, I like golf. Golf's great. Golf is genuinely...
How can you call golf not boring, cricket boring?
Because golf's
more
wicked.
Happens in cricket.
No, golf's wicked.
I like both, but more happens in cricket.
Yeah, but golf's just like a nice day out.
Exactly.
Like cricket.
It's just a walk.
Yeah, cricket's like a competitive standing around in the sun thing.
It goes on for like 20 days. It's too much, mate. It's too much sport for one person to watch. I haven't got time for it.
Not all of it goes on for that long. Only test matches.
Well, they're the worst then. They're the worst of the lot. Let's have some
quick
80%
cricket,
facts.
I imagine is slightly quicker.
Let's have an 80% fact. There's a nice little segue, actually. This comes from Nick, who says, "Hello, Luke, Ollie, and only on Wednesdays, Randy Andy Datsun." Well, unfortunately, it's a Thursday, and I looked at my watch there, which hasn't got a day on it. Since Ollie is a big sports fan, a little behind on the reference, I wanted to offer up my 80% fact about golf. Now, we have had a fact about golf before, which apparently it stands for Gentlemen Only, Ladies Forbidden. And he's again sent that in. Gentlemen only, ladies forbidden. You know, from when only Scottish men played. Cheers. You're not allowed to Google it, Randy. I can see you over there typing that in. That's not how this works. You don't Google.
You can't look them up. You just have to learn them.
That sounds like nonsense to me. That just sounds like one of those things. Like someone told me the other day, "Oh, I just found out that news stands for notely events, weather and sport." Like, that's just nonsense. That's not true. That just happens to stand for that.
I believe it.
Is it the same as Adidas, All Day I Dream About Sport?
Oh, no, I thought it was All Day I Dream About Sex.
Well, I think sport sounds more likely because they make sports clothing. But sure, sex, yeah.
I told that to my wife quite recently because there's a Korn song called Adidas because they used to wear a lot of Adidas trackies. And I said that's what it stood for, because I generally thought that's what it's done for. But yeah, probably sports is more likely. She said, really? I was like, I mean, that's what I was told.
I mean, it's probably nothing. It's probably...
You could make anything, though. Like,
it's probably
Nike.
Norwegian.
Well, Nike stands for Nice Ice Skating Keith Irvine.
You're not very good at this.
my cousin, Chris, once told me, so I'm going to have to self-censor myself a little bit here, but he said that Adidas...
First name R, second name Chris.
R Chris. Said that it stood for, "After dinner, I did a poo." And you can read it backwards as, so after dinner, I did another. Anyway, that is all we've got time for. Actually, no, let's have this one last 8% fact here. This comes from Luke Chador that says, hello, oil. Yes, I'm intentionally spelling his name wrong. Luke, not Kevin Owens, Chopper Pete, and not that dastardly Candy Shatson. This is more of a 100% fact, but there's those who deny it. Sami Zayn and El Generico are two different people.
No.
Much love, you podswafting... Much love from your podswafting luchador.
That's true.
Is it?
Yeah.
They're two different people?
They are completely different people,
yeah. That's what I've heard as well, yeah. Don't know where Jericho's gone back to.
He's running his orphanage again, isn't he?
Oh, that's right. We're back to the orphanage. Tweeting every now and again. Cute. Anyway, that's all we've got time for on this episode. I'll be back on Saturday with, I think, Pete's question mark? Could be Simon. We're not sure yet. But it's Pete or Simon to do the NXT Ramble. That's what we've just done here. To do the magazine edition of this show. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.